I don't know if this... Okie dokie. Thanks for having me back. It's actually Ordinary Hospitality, Extraordinary God. I don't do Extraordinary Hospitality, but you heard about that last time. How many were here last time when I spoke on hospitality? I hope you do a lot of it. I have a PowerPoint, and I'll just introduce my family a little bit. Is it coming, my dear? Do I have to hit the button? There we go. That's my mother, actually. She passed away 5 years ago last week at almost 95, and I'll be talking about her a little bit today because we're talking about a mother's legacy. Wasn't she cute? My daddy, too. He met her when he was 20 and she was 16 and told her the second date he was going to marry her. They waited 4 years. They did everything together. There's my husband. He mostly wears plaid. And we've been remodeling for 13 years and we're still married. But I think I talked about that last time. He just started in again fixing parts that he'd fixed. So my house is completely covered with drywall dust. So I left. These are my girls a long time ago. We do this birthday flag I just took down because this middle one just turned 27 last week. So I still put up the flag, but I stopped making it at 18. It was just too much work. I've sent it off, though, to Penn State, University of Oregon, USC, and to their roommates, and then the roommates put it up. It's kind of cute. The High School Musical Day. Bonnie, Bethany, Mary. And when they come home, it costs a lot of money. And there's always boys involved. This is, we went to see Bonnie. She did study abroad in London. It was kind of cute. And this was last Christmas. I'm not sure how much further. Oh, yeah, I got to speak at Hume Lake, and two of the girls came. Of course, I had to pay their way, but they came. The youngest graduated. Yes, there's an end in sight. All my friends are saying, do you get a raise now? No more college tuition. I haven't seen that raise yet. And I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, we talk about hospitality and imperfect hospitality. How can you burn something in a crock pot? I have a book. I brought it last time. Another one, a Bible study. Laura, I was so glad to hear that she and her group did that book. It's always amazing to me that people actually read my books, but thank you for telling me that. I've written a new one since I was here, and it's not about hospitality, even though it has the word table in it, because so much mentoring goes on at the table, just like here this morning with your mentor moms, and actually just any person that speaks God's truth and love into your life is mentoring you. So I only brought three, but it's just a handbook. We all know someone a little younger than ourselves in experience or age, and so we have a great opportunity to pass on what God is teaching us to them. So these are just guidelines and helps, practical helps, because I've been mentoring and been mentored since my 20s, and I'm 66. So it's always a privilege to be able to pass on what God is teaching you. So if you're interested, it's here. And I just came out with a new product. It's digital. It's 202 conversation starters, which women don't normally need. But with the holidays approaching, sometimes you have strangers at your table, or you invited your neighbor over for coffee, and perhaps you've done all this work, and then when they leave, you still don't know them very well. So the conversation starters are to get to a deeper level of communication so that you can really meet needs and show them how God can meet their need. That came out last week. Oh, a planner. All right, enough of me. Oh, there we go. I'm here to make you feel better about being a mother. I had a friend who came in my house one day and said, I feel better about my house now that I've seen yours. I think she thought that was a compliment, but I decided that I did her a service that day. I made her feel better about her house, and I'd seen her house, so that did make me feel a little bad, but that was before the remodel when I had an excuse. I'm here to make you feel better about being a mother, and really that is the role of every mentor mom, that we are so authentic and that we're real with our foibles and our mistakes and how God loves us anyway, and how does that translate to the next person, that God loves them anyway. And I told everybody, well, I'm going to cry today because I'm going to be talking about my mother, but I think I'm just old. My mother had a lot of friends, and I think it's because she was authentic. And she would tell me some of the things she would tell these gals she would meet with. And like, oh, I stayed up all night trying to think of ways to leave your father, but then I decided it was too much trouble. I go, wow, Mom, I don't even want to go there with you. But she was authentic with her weaknesses, and that endears you to someone. It endears you to someone. We should never try to lord it over anybody else. And we don't do that on purpose necessarily, but that's kind of, we're feeling insecure ourselves, so then we're not really presenting our real selves. I think we owe it to our sisters to be real so that they can feel comfortable in who they are. And then you can say, well, Jesus helps me in my weakness. And so guess what? He'll help you as well. One of my mother's friends said this to me about her. Your mom was the most genuine of all people I've ever met. She annoyed me, but that was nice to hear that about her. You never wondered what she was really like. That's an example that we should all follow. It's probably in the bylaws of MOPS. To be honest with yourself, first of all, before God. He knows everything anyway. And then be honest to that next person that you come up alongside. Of course, the day I began working on this talk, I had received the Worst Mother of the Year award from at least two of our three children. Well, maybe three, all three. I had been on Facebook. Always beware of someone over 60 who says, well, I was on Facebook. And now my daughters say, oh, Mom, no one's on Facebook anymore. I go, well, I cannot figure out the others. But anyway, I had been on Facebook, and I found this great article entitled, Three Dating Non-Negotiables. And so I quickly shared it with my two oldest daughters because it was good. I actually read it before I shared it. I don't always do that. And there was nothing embarrassing in it or revealing to my way of thinking. But of course, what do we know? We're the mother, right? Then I get this text around midnight. Mom, there is a private messaging Facebook capability. I'll give you a tutorial this weekend. That comment got 15 likes alone. The guy she was dating goes, what, your mother doesn't like me? Actually, I didn't, but that's not why I sent it. I'm fully aware that we become mothers to teach us humility. Right? Just when we're about ready to understand who we really are, our junior high angst is almost a thing of the past. We may have finished a college degree or two, and even used that degree in a semi-significant manner. About then, we start having children, and we begin like a baby to learn who we are again, who God is, how He means for us to live all over again. All over again, just when we're thinking we're such smarty pants, then we have daughters, and it starts all over again. Most of you have young children, yet you may feel like a baby yourself in how to mother, and that's okay. No one actually taught me how to be a mother. I have a master's degree. I don't really remember what it's in. My point is this, I need God every day to mother, perhaps even more as a mother of adult children. You do too. And that, ladies, will be our greatest legacy that we can leave our children, our own desperate daily dependence on God. And if your hands are free and you like to take notes, there are outlines on your tables. That's 3D in the best sense of the word, our desperate daily dependence. The best thing we can leave our children is our own personal relationship with God. When you heard the title, A Mother's Legacy, you could have maybe perhaps gotten anxiety, like, oh, I'm not doing a good enough job. Don't worry, they're only 6 weeks old, you have time. But when we think about the fact that when we know God for ourselves, we present an accurate picture of who he is to our children. And that is the most important legacy that we can leave. I came across this quote years ago. Live so that when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you. Well, those are good things. My mother was all those things. I hope I'm those things. Fairness, integrity, and caring. But there is something more, far more important that God has called you and I to. And it's this. Live so that when your children think of God's grace, God's greatness, and God's love, they think of their mothers. When our kids see that God is real in our lives, that he offers grace and forgiveness, that he can be depended upon, that he deserves our very lives in complete surrender, that and that alone will keep them in good stead for whatever they will face in their lives. Because, you know, we'll be gone someday, and they're going to be facing something that's really hard. That's really hard. My friend likes to remind me, Sue, more is caught than taught. I never liked that. I like to teach. But I'm hoping that my girls will catch the idea that real life only comes from abandoning to God, day in and day out. But they will only catch that as they see their mother abandoned to God day in and day out. Maybe a hard time, you're facing a hard time right now. And when we face hard times, we like to question, like, why is this happening to me? Next time you face a hard time, you say, Lord, is this happening so that my kids can watch me depend on you? Because that's something they will need in the future. One time my folks were visiting, and my mother mentioned she had had a series of medical tests that could possibly be some cause for concern. She was 84 at the time. However, every time I asked her how she was feeling, she said, oh, I feel fine. And she acted like she felt fine. And my dad, the optimist, told everybody, oh, she'll be fine. And my husband, the internist, said, well, from all I can gather, she'll be fine. But on that particular Friday morning, she got up. I remember where she was standing in my kitchen, and she announced that everything or everyone could be wrong after all, and she may not have long to live, so she wanted to go shopping and buy furniture for all my three children. And I didn't want to argue with her, so we got in the car, and we shopped all day, and we got a piece of furniture for each of the girls, and then we moved toys and furniture all night long, and then she took two Advil and went to bed with no regrets. I love that. Not only because of the new furniture, I love to move furniture, but also her great attitude. And I thought that in the years to come that our girls would remember their grandma as someone who not only loved to shop, but loved to give, and that they would each have a piece of furniture to remember her by. Another word for legacy is treasure. This morning I'd like to spend a few moments thinking about a mother's treasure or legacy. What our mothers gave us, what to do about if our mothers did not give us a good legacy, and what treasures are we in the process of passing down to our children. There's that rocking chair. My parents had a lovely wooden rocking chair. It had lots of stories around it. My mother rocked all of us in it. We all love the chair because of the creaks in it. It does seem a little smaller to me now. And we all hoped we would get it someday, and I managed to. My mother used to tell us, put your name on what you want. And it seemed to work. We'd say, Mom, you're not dead yet. But she'd go, no, put your name on backs of pictures or whatever. And it must have worked because there were no fights when our folks passed. But one reason was this. My parents were not millionaires, so their treasures were more sentimental in nature. And secondly, what's truly valuable in their legacy had already been passed down. If you could just think about that, what you're doing today with your children is your legacy. It's kind of scary, actually. But it should be encouraging as well if you don't have any money. Those intangibles like honesty, you know, that you are a woman of your word to your kids, that will make a huge difference in their lives. Hospitality, taking responsibility for your actions, finishing a job once started, not buying things on credit. Well, not everything was passed down successfully. Family traditions, seeking and serving God. All these things and more were passed down by my parents for 70 years. I found a letter I'd written for their 50th anniversary album. Now, we gave my folks a party at their 40th anniversary and their 50th and their 60th. 65th, we just invited them to San Luis Obispo when we went to Apple Farm for dinner. And then their 70th, after the 70th anniversary party, my mother says, well, what are we going to do for our 75th? Well, praise the Lord, they both went to glory, so we didn't have to have another party. But they made it through 74 years of marriage. And of course, they still fought towards the end, but they fought very loudly because they couldn't hear each other. So, anyway, somebody made a scrapbook. This was my nephew's painting, and I kept this when we went through their things. So I wrote a note to my parents. I think I had one baby at that point, so I'm surprised I could write at all. I was a mess. I said, thanks for teaching me to follow through, to keep my word, to respect authority, to pay my debts, to do what's right, to ride my bike, to look both ways, and to play ping pong. Thanks for modeling good humor, good talks, authentic Christianity, and an open home. Thanks for my first Avon makeup, my first date 1 month before turning 16. They had to bend the rules. And my first Visa card. Thanks for lobster, a watch, a sewing machine, and a stereo, all for graduations. Thanks for putting up with my big mouth and enduring my boy craziness and for praying me into marriage at 35. Thanks for being strong while I was always taking off to go somewhere. Europe, Guatemala, Brazil, Idlewild, Papua New Guinea. My mother said, I cried for a whole week when you left for Brazil. I said, why? I was having a great time. Now my children leave me when they go back home to San Francisco and I cry. Thanks for long-distance phone calls. We used to have to pay for those. And for the 40 to 60-page hair dryer letters. My mother was famous for these long handwritten letters because she would get her hair done every week. So she'd sit under the hair dryer and write me these long letters. Of course, the joke was we couldn't read them because she had such terrible handwriting. I asked a question on Facebook. What is a good legacy that you received from your mother? And one friend told me this. She taught me how to be a hard worker. Now, I knew her mother. Their relationship was a difficult one. But she was still able to pull out a great legacy from her imperfect mother. Right now, I'd like you to take a moment and tell someone near you one good thing you received from your mother or from a mother figure. It might be a stretch, like when I'm trying to think of ways to compliment my husband, I might say, well, he flosses regularly. I'll give you a minute each. Go ahead. One thing you received from your mother or a mother figure. Okay, I hope that was fun. Look again at that line on your outline, if you would, please. Live so that when your children think of God's grace, God's greatness, and God's love, they think of you. Now, why start with grace? I think it's because we need grace the most, and we need to give grace the most. Now, we all know that no mother is perfect, and that our biggest critic is usually ourselves, until our daughters turn 13, at which time they take on that job with relish, and finally begin to relinquish it around the age 22. Any legacy we've received includes both negative and positive aspects. No mother is perfect. I laughed when I saw this sign in a store. Mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother, after all. I laughed, but I didn't buy it. We all know moms make mistakes, and we hope we won't do the same as our moms' mistakes. Speaking from experience, I have made some of my mother's mistakes, but guess what? I've made plenty of my own that have nothing to do with my mother. You may want to look up a blog I recently posted entitled Open Letter to Adult Children Who Are Annoyed by Their Parents. We need to give grace while they're still here. The greatest legacy we share with our kids is to show them the heart of God. And at his heart is grace and forgiveness. And it may need to start with us forgiving our mothers. Our kids are watching very carefully. Or when you forgive your husband in front of your kids, they learn an accurate picture of God. You don't have to go to seminary to show off God. You just need to forgive your husband. When you ask for forgiveness of one of your kids, you teach them the grace and the goodness of God. I have two adult children living back at home with me. I practice this on a regular basis. You may be thinking about now, I didn't get a very good legacy. In a group this size, that will be the case, that some of you came from a very painful past. I think it can be, listen carefully if this is you. I think it can be a very good exercise to look at a painful past to help us understand our present and to improve our future. But it needs to be just that, an exercise, not a lifestyle. We glance, we glean, but we do not stay there. Do you understand what I'm saying? We know the difference. We may know someone who has made their painful past their lifestyle, that they view everything that happens to them based on what they came from. The most important activity in that exercise at looking at your painful past might need to be the act of forgiveness. That's not easy. C.S. Lewis said this, we all think that forgiveness is a great idea until we have someone to forgive. Remind me, last Sunday I was working on saying something affirming to my husband because he was driving me crazy with the mess. So on the way home from church I said, boy, you have really been, it was about the car. My husband has discovered eBay. It's been very dangerous. He was so excited that he found this CD player for our 20-year-old van, and he got it for $5 on eBay. Well, my CD player in my Lexus broke about a year and a half ago, but I wasn't too worried about it. And he goes, and I found one for the Lexus for $125, so he bought it, and when he put it in my car, everything else broke. And I was complaining about it, and so finally he sent it off to a Lexus dealership, the whole thing. So I had this hole in my dashboard, this big. Thankfully it was set on a good temperature because I couldn't change the temperature for 3 weeks. And so I was kind of complaining about that. So when he got it back, he says, well, it'll cost $3,000 to fix it. So I guess, oh well, you know, this is kind of we're at the oh well stage. But when he put it back in the car, I was kind of relieved to see my little satellite map up there. And I can change some things if I stop the car and figure it out. And I said, boy, it's so nice that it's back. So that was, I was trying to dig in for a compliment. I'm glad this is back in here. And then I said, But of course, it's really hard to change the temperature. I thought, I just ruined that whole compliment. You know, we're so good at building up, and then we, with a stroke of a sentence, we can ruin things. I need to forgive them. One author writes about the breaking the chain of ungrace through forgiveness. We've all received some chains of ungrace. We did not receive a perfect parenting. But what chain do we need to break for the sake of our own children? I talked about that when I spoke on hospitality. The greatest legacy we can leave is to forgive the past and start a new chain of grace. But I can't do that without God's help. That shows God to a hurting world, including your children. God's mercies are new when? Every morning. Like Anne of Green Gables, we wake up with fresh with no mistakes in the day yet. But then I can ruin that by, 15 minutes later. But God's grace is new then too. And that's what we want to show our children. He is a starting over kind of God. When our oldest was in eighth grade, and yes, your kids will reach eighth grade, and they will live through it, and so will you. It was Bonnie. She started begging for a dog. Now, we'd had dogs before, and rabbits, and pet rats, and even a kitten for about a week. But they had never panned out. My husband had to return more than one, and he for sure was deaf to Bonnie's cries. I, on the other hand, was trying to wade through the emotions of a 13-year-old who did not feel very great about herself. A dog seemed like a worthy option, and I needed all the help I could get. When I talked to Mark about it, he said, "We've tried dogs before," he said. "The girls did not take responsibility. They had their chance." I know exactly where the man in plaid was standing when he made that announcement. And I replied, "Well, God is the God of second chances. Remember, I gave you a second chance. I had said no to his first proposal. 3 years later, I said yes, but that story will have to wait for another MOPS." I continued, "I gave you a second chance, remember?" At that point, he was probably regretting that he had even offered a second chance to me, but the point was this: we make mistakes. We act irresponsibly. We don't deserve a second or third or fifth chance, do we? But God forgives. He's there waiting to pour out his abundant forgiveness if we ask. He gives grace. As Corrie Ten Boom said, he throws our sins into the deepest part of the ocean and puts up a no fishing sign. I love that. We got a dog. Oops, I thought we had a picture of the dog. Nope. Well, I had it on there. She was a beautiful golden retriever. Sonny. And Sonny lived 14 years, and Mark was the only one who walked the dog. Sonny got all three of our girls through junior high and high school. My prayer that year was that he would last, he was very old, that he would last until Mary Grace got through her senior year in high school, because I didn't know what I would do if I'd have to be asked for another dog when she only had 6 months to go. But he died the end of April, and thankfully Mary had chosen to graduate early in March. So, and she was out in Iowa with Mark's family. And God is in the details, ladies. Sonny made it through all three of those girls' junior high experience and high school. That was a huge blessing to me. Precious, precious dog. When we can show grace to our kids, our husbands, ourselves, we are showing them the heart of God. And that's the best legacy we can leave our families. My own mother's example of someone who broke the chain of ungrace in the way she raised me and my brothers and sisters. There's the picture of the plate. She had this blue glass plate. I always, when she would say, "Sue, put the brownies on something," that's the plate I would use. So one time I was home, she goes, "Well, why don't you pick out one of my plates?" I go, "Well, this is my favorite one." She goes, "Oh, well, that was a wedding present. I didn't know that." Ask a lot of questions now, because now I have so many questions for her, and I can't get the answers back for a while. And that's a part of my inheritance through her. She had to learn trial and error how to do hospitality. And yet by the time I came along, she was really good at it. So she broke a chain of ungrace of not knowing how to do hospitality for the sake of us and for herself. Our home was a veritable motel for traveling missionaries, relatives, as well as people that she met on the street. I have so many stories like that. There's a great children's book by Cynthia Ryland. Don't you love Cynthia Ryland? I'm sure you've discovered some of her children's books. It's called When the Relatives Came. And there's a wonderful line that says, all that extra breathing in the house. We had a lot of extra breathing in our home. She took to heart the commandment, be hospitable one to another without complaint. And she passed down to us the ease and the confidence to open our homes, something she herself had not received. And that's the challenge I want to leave with you. Even if we have not received a certain legacy in our past, we can begin now with God's help to change that legacy. And I want to add this. If you are admiring an older woman from afar, invite her for coffee. Ask her to spend time with you. If you admire the way that she has a good relationship with her adult children, or just ask her questions. It doesn't have to be a 3-month relationship. It doesn't have to be a formal mentoring relationship. There's a wonderful older woman in our church. I met her when she was in her 70s. She's now 92. But I was teaching women's Bible study one morning, and I was quoting Annadale. I go, how many in here don't know Annadale? And several women raised their hand. I go, okay, well, I'm going to have a coffee. So I invited whoever didn't know her to my house with Annadale. And I said, now ask her any question you want. And the first woman said, has your heart ever been broken? Wow. Could have heard a pin drop. And she said, oh, yes, but hearts heal. And I knew her heart had been broken. And she said, you either become bitter or better. And when we were first married, she goes, oh, you guys are going to have such a wonderful marriage. And I go, are you sure? I'd call her, are you sure you know what you're talking about? We need people like that in our lives. Ask them. They will be so honored that you ask them. Let me ask you to consider today. It's on your outline. First, is there anything you still need to forgive in your upbringing? Take it to the cross and let God do his perfect work. You might even need a professional counselor to work your way through it. That's okay. And secondly, is there any chain of ungrace you need to break for the sake of your family? Tell God about it. He wants to help. I think that's his middle name, Grace. Another part of our legacy is our faith in God's greatness. I'm convinced God gives us children to keep us honest in our relationship with him. We can't fake it in front of our children. When we're upset about something, where will they see us go to get our comfort and strength? My girlfriend Bonnie Mastin told me that her most precious picture she had of her mother was looking down the hall of their modest home and seeing her mother, Madge, I love that name, that was my grandmother's name, on her knees by her bed, praying for her and for her brother. That's the picture she has of her mother, a very quiet, modest woman. But what does she do? How does she spend her time? Praying for her kids. When we rest on God, our children will learn that they can too. Can you think of a greater treasure to pass down? Many years ago, my folks had a very rough year due to this man. I think it was crazy. They lived up in the country. They had a house in Palos Verdes, but they had built a house in Magalia. It's outside of Paradise, California. And they'd had a rough time with this man over a property line issue. It's kind of like the real McCoys or something like that. It was really ridiculous. But he actually pulled a gun on my father. And he ended up eventually extorting several thousand dollars from my folks. It was scary. When he was almost out of the picture, much sooner than they had anticipated, I remember my mother calling and saying with elation, it's just like my mother used to say, God does things abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Are you familiar with that verse, ladies? It's Ephesians 3:20. Write that down. I think I actually put it on your outline. put it on a note card, put it on your dashboard, put it on your mirror, put it on your refrigerator, put it where you hide the Oreos. Put that verse, because you need to expect great things from God. Now unto him who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And in the Message, it reads this way. God can do anything, you know, it's on your outline, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. You know, the author of the Message is Eugene Peterson, and he was a pastor in the East Coast, and he just wrote a translation for his congregation, and that was the Message. He passed away 2 Sundays ago, and they said in the article about him online that he was a little bit in dementia the last week before his death, but that his kids heard him say, "Let's go." He was so ready for glory. But anyway, if you don't have a Message, a copy of the Message, I would highly recommend it. That verse, Ephesians 3:20, had been precious to me in college. And I had no idea that my mother had heard that verse from her mother so many years ago. I just never heard that story. And that meant so much to me. Here I was hearing my mother repeat the same truth that she too was raised with. Are we raising our children to depend on a great God? God could be counted on. That's what that verse says. He was more than faithful. He didn't just give you exactly what you needed. He gave abundantly above. And that he loved to surprise us with abundance. And that God can do anything. God can do anything. Is that what you're passing down to your children? An accurate picture of God. This is not God out of a textbook. This is God in real life, in your life. And that's the greatest legacy for your kids. Now, how did my mother pass this knowledge of God down to us? It was because of her own relationship with God. She was not perfect, believe me. But I would catch her reading her Bible. I barged in on her prayer time with her girlfriends. I heard her weeping over my black sheep brother who spoke here a few years ago, who after 9 long years came to God. I would have to tiptoe through the dining room when she was crying with our neighbor Alice. We knew God was important to Mom because she loved doing things for him. Mom taught Sunday school and hosted church events. She taught us to tithe. I grew up with French's mustard jars on my windowsill. We have these great windowsills in our house in PV. And mustard, we must have bought a lot of mustard because we all had them. And she would use adhesive tape for labels. Remember adhesive tape? And she dug a little, sliced a little hole in the lid. And one said savings and one said tithe. This is our banking. Spending and camp, saving for camp. And so we would get an allowance, and we would put, you know, the designated bits out of the dime we received or whatever. And then we would take the money to Sunday school and put it in the offering basket. Now, as we got older, we knew that God wanted our whole lives, not just a tenth, and that he was worth giving our whole lives to. After my folks passed away, each of my girls received a surprise letter and a check in the mail. This is Mary's. "Dear Mary, I hope you will never forget that Grandma and Grandpa Moore loved you and were so proud of you. Building treasure on earth was never their goal, but their delight was in the family they started and watched grow and expand. As an expression of that love, they directed that each of their grandchildren," that's it, it's my youngest, "should receive $5,000 from their estate. No, I never gave an allowance like that. Know that you have received much more than an amount of money. You have received a significant heritage." By the way, it's all spent. I'll tell you that. "We hope that you will honor them by living your life in such a way that their generous, compassionate, and godly legacy will continue through your children and their children. Love, Aunt Anne and Uncle Hyatt." This was a financial legacy to my kids and the rest of the grandkids. and a chance to give a bigger tithe than usual. I remember my oldest calling and crying. She goes, Mom, what should I do with it? I said, well, go buy a very expensive pair of boots and tithe, because that'll be $500, tenth of 5,000, and then save the rest. I know, the only thing I know she actually did was buy the boots. Our youngest, Mary, wrote checks to Adeline, my folks' caregiver of 4 years, to her cousin, Allison, because of her husband's accident, and $100 for her uncle, Steve, just because they don't have much money. My brother goes, why did Mary send us a check? She's tithing. More is caught than taught, right? I saw my mom giving and giving and giving, and I wanted to do the same, and your kids want to do the same. What do I do with this, Mom? They'll ask you. That's why my kids grew up going to the dollar store and picking out their own boxes for Operation Christmas Child. They had a vested interest. They used their own money. So sweet. My mother's free time was spent organizing Tupperware closets for missionaries and rolling bandages from sheets. Their group was called the Holy Terrors because they would tear sheets into bandages. Now, how my mother served God is different in most ways than the way I serve him. The uniqueness of our serving isn't the issue, it's our heart behind the service. Since God is great, he's worth serving. Since he is the king, he's worth serving. That's what you teach your children. They don't have to be like you. They just have to know the same God that you know. The way we live our lives will show our kids what we think of God. Do you want your kids watching you wring your hands in worry or lifting them in prayer? That's a picture you want them to have of us. I grew up with the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. It wasn't until I had children that I thought of these words, Jesus loves me, this I know, wish I always acted so. A friend with grown kids told me the story when she was asked at the last minute to go to a camp called Indian Village and to be a counselor. And so she had to have an Indian name, and she was trying to come up with an appropriate camp name. And she said, I thought of Gentle Breeze or Babbling Brook. And then suddenly her 9-year-old piped up from the back seat, I've got it, Mom. How about Screaming Eagle? And she said, well, we laughed for quite a while, but it was a little hard to take. I'm sure my girls would think that was very appropriate for me as well at times. Will that be the legacy they have from me? There's time to change it, but not a lot of time for me, but there's lots of time for you. Do they understand how deep God loves them, how deeply God loves them, because of how much I love them. If you're wondering today, what can I do to pass down the greatest legacy to my kids? Here it is. It's on your outline. God wrote it all out for us, Deuteronomy 6. I'll read just the first sentence. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's your legacy. Love him. I need to love God and love others, starting with those who live in my house. A while back when one of my young daughters was helping me cook, and she accidentally made a normal cooking mess. You know how kids do when they're trying to help. You'd rather just do it yourself. And I tried to keep the frustration out of my face, but I realized I wasn't very successful because I heard her say this, Mom, I'm just little. I know. She still drives me crazy, though, but she was right. She was just little. She was needing a little grace and forgiveness right then, and I wasn't too swift in providing it. There are times I've gone to the Lord Jesus, and I basically said, Lord, I'm just little, and I can't do this myself, and I've blown it again. I can't believe it. I'm so old. I'm supposed to be mature. Please forgive me. And guess what? He always does. He always forgives me. He's waiting to pour out forgiveness, but he does like us to ask. This is how we pass on a legacy without passing out. I began praying every day, Lord, help me to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and my neighbor as myself, and help my girls to know how much you love them. And he will answer that prayer. He will answer that prayer. Last week, I read this great quote from Fenelon, you don't need much time to tell God that you love him. So I've been thinking about that in the car. I was driving down 5 hours. That was a pretty good time from St. Louis. Just every once in a while, that would come to me. Okay, Lord, I want you to know that I love you. I don't say that enough. My husband's half Norwegian from Iowa. He never says it. He's just not in his nature, rarely says it. But his way of relating is not my responsibility. My way of relating is my responsibility. And I keep needing to do that and tell my God, Lord, you know, I love you. I love you. And when you say that, it'll come out in the way you act. And that'll be the best legacy that you give your kids. My kids may pick up some good things like how to separate laundry and make a bed properly and plan menus. They may even learn how to make gravy without lumps, though I doubt it because they've never watched me. But what I really hope that they remember is that their mother did all of those things with love and grace and dependence on God. I mean, Thanksgiving's coming up. That could be a lot of work, which means there's a lot of lack of sleep, which means that we become short-circuited in our patience. Ask God for the grace to go through it in a gracious way. And that will be the great best witness and legacy you can give your kids. I hope that our girls follow God with all their hearts, and that they will go to church, and that they will marry a believer, and that they will give their tithe out of their mustard jars. But those are all miracles of grace that I have no control over. So I'll pray that those things will be so. But what I need to do is concentrate on my relationship with God so that they will know he is a God that can be depended upon, that he is a God that needs to be served, and that they are so loved by this God. And that's what you can do too. Let's bow our heads for a few moments. I'd like you to spend a few moments of quiet to think of how you can know God better and show him better in the days and weeks ahead. If you've never entered into a personal relationship with him, you can by asking him today, right now, to come into your life, to forgive your sins, and trust him for your present and your future. If you like, you can repeat this simple prayer after me silently. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me and come into my life. I want to be your child. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name. And Father, for those of us who already know you, please give us the wisdom we need to reflect your character accurately to those around us. We cannot change people, Lord. You are the only one who can. So I ask, Lord, that you will start with us. Change our hearts to reflect who you are accurately, especially to our children, to our families, and perhaps to relatives that we don't even like that we're going to see over the holidays. Help us to be patient and gracious and loving and kind and not say something when we shouldn't say it and do say something when we should. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.